Like if we can maybe switch songs that we were thinking here and share a one that's been a hymn that's been a favorite hymn, and trust that it'll be a blessing to you. Have you had a good day today? And God has given us life, and God has purpose when He gives us life. God has purpose for bringing us together here tonight. And thank you for coming out, that we can look into God's Word and trust that you'll be strengthened and encouraged through His Word as we gathered around that here this evening. And this has been an older favorite song that talks about Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings. Continue to surrender to God as He speaks to us, then God does amazing work in and through our lives. Let's talk about moving that stone. There's difficulties that enter our life, but God is the one that down through the pages of Scripture, He did the impossible. He moved and removed those stones that were there. The song talks about He can move that stone that's troubling you.
I'm gonna
God's forgotten me. Does he really care? Is he aware of my every need? When I recall his word, he controls this world. What he brings me to, he'll take me through, and that's good enough for me. Evening. Amen. God can move that stone. Whatever that issue, event, circumstance in our life, as we approach that by faith, it doesn't mean that things are going to work out the way we think they should. No, but he will walk with us. He does the miraculous many times, but he will walk with us through whatever those uncomfortable events are in our lives. I'd like if Shantae and Kyra would come and join us for a song. Before we have all the children, trying to see who all the children are here this evening, maybe you all can come and sing a song with them after this song here. If they do one more from the video project that talks about, it's a hymn. We put a couple hymns together and talks about the sunlight, and all right, yes. That kind of gets in front of the little girl's faces there, all right? If y'all can just step forward there. All right, thank you, Sheldon. And sunlight in my soul today.
Bye.
very good. Let's have all the children come, and up to ages, I don't know, 10, 11 is fine. If you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you come, and the girls would love to have you help them to sing a couple songs here. So come on up, come forward, and stand right across the stage here. Come right on up on top here, so everyone can see, everyone can hear. Taller ones in the back and shorter ones in the front. There we go. Good, good, good. Now they're coming. All right. And we'll see what are some favorite songs. There you go. All right. Anyone else that's just waiting to come? We'd love to have you come and join us if you're okay with that. All right. There we go. Very good. All right. We got a nice group of children here. And young people there. Okay. All right. Do you have a favorite song? Can we see everybody? I think we can see everybody. All right. Do you have a favorite song that you'd like to sing this evening? So one you think of when you think, you can't hide behind somebody there. No. All right. What's a favorite that you have that we can sing? Can you think of one? Let's start with one that everybody knows. The younger ones know it. Jesus Loves Me. Can we do that? Let's do that right to start with. Okay, ready?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. There's no one to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Very good. That was good. All right. I think they could hear you way in the back there. So good job. Is there another song that you think about that you like? Is there anyone that has some motions that we can do that you think about? Building up the temple? All right. Let's try that one. You know that one? Like building up the temple. Building up the temple of the Lord. Say, brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord. Okay. Let's do this. Ready?
Building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. Say, brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord. Building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. Say, brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord.
Okay, very good. What about, do you know that one, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty? Brianna, can you help me with some motions? Could you do that? It's hard for me to play and do motions at the same time, and sometimes I'm not sure of them. So, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. Nothing my God cannot do. Okay, and then we go to the mountains. The mountains are his. Rivers are his. Stars are his handiwork too. Okay.
My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his, and he works too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do.
All right. Yes. All right. Very good. Is there one more? Is there one more that you think of? Anybody? Running over? Okay. Running over. Can you help us with the motions there too? Let me go down. Let me see.
Running over. Running over. My cup is full and running over. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as you see.
Let's pitch it up just a bit and do it one more time, shall we?
Running over, running over.
You can go back to your parents. Let's thank God for the children. Your children. I'd like if Brian and Alicia would sing one song yet before we look into God's Word here. And Alicia currently has struggled with some of the skin and the topical condition that she faces as a side effect of some of the medication that she's on. And back about 4 years ago or so, she was going through another season at that time when she was just miserable. And at nighttime, be hard to sleep. And you know, when you have chronic eczema and your skin's dry, and just can be a miserable time. And so I shared with her. I said, let's not allow Satan to discourage us, because you can get discouraged when you go day after day with conditions, something going on. And I said, let's try to see Jesus in the middle of those circumstances. And I remember the one morning when. She hadn't woke us up, but she had not slept very well that night. And when we talked, she said, I think I wrote a song last night. And so in the middle of that time, when you want to be, you can feel frustrated, but she allowed to turn her attention to God and what is God speaking to her about. And this is the song that she wrote. It talks about God's grace, if not for grace.
Inspire that to me.
Amen. God will walk with us. Hold on to His promises. Trust His promises through those dark nights, through those times in our lives. I thank God for that opportunity. Thank you. Let's all stand together, shall we? Say it's been a real blessing to be with you all these days, and just your hospitality, being able to be in several of your homes, and the meals that you provided, and shown God's love to us in a number of ways. Thank you for that. And good to see Menno and Mary here this evening. Blessing to have them. We've appreciated them over the years from down in Goshen area. So let's, as we look into God's Word tonight, we want to look at the pain in relationships. And there's many different fronts that Satan wants to use, and he will try to destroy us. Just looking at how pain affects relationships here this evening. Father, I thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for this privilege to be in your house where your Word is our focus. And we as the created, we as the finite, you the infinite, as we gather around your Word here this evening, God, I pray that you would impress the truths of your Word into our hearts. And God, as your children here this evening, we purpose to say yes as you speak to us. God, that you will do exceeding abundant above all that we could ask or think as we surrender to you and say yes to you. God, we just dedicate these next minutes to you as we look into your Word and ask that you, through your Holy Spirit, would speak into our hearts, into our consciousness. And Lord, we're mindful there's an enemy, Satan, the evil one. Satan, we command that you would leave, you depart from this place, any unclean force or spirit. And God, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would minister to us this evening. And God, will give you glory, for you alone are worthy. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Scripture that I'd like to look at, 1 Peter chapter 5, as we start here this evening. There's a passage that an exhortation to elders, and I'd like to read several of those verses. Verse 10 is one that is a nugget for me as I look at this passage. But there are outlines. They have a very basic outline for you here this evening. And so if you'd want to take one, and I failed to mention that a bit earlier, but if you'd take one, each young person and each adult, you can take one and follow along. It's very basic, but you can add to it as there are truths that you would think about that God brings to your mind. And it's not about my ability to communicate this evening. It's about God's Holy Spirit speaking into our consciousness and into our lives. And so take this and follow along in that way. 1 Peter 5, verse 10 is on the top of the outline there. And I'd like to just pick up in verse 5. Of 1 Peter, but verse 10 is the one that I'd like to just focus in on, to draw our attention to, specifically, talking about exhortation to elders, we all do well to be challenged by these thoughts. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And then verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, strengthen, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 8 there, it talks about that adversary. Last night we talked about that football field and the enemy that is out there. There's an enemy that's there to tackle you, to take you down. Here he's looked at as a lion, the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't have the ability to do it unless we allow him to, unless we choose his side or his kingdom. Seeking whom he may devour, but says, resist steadfast. Satan will come from any side, any angle that he can, to bring you down and to destroy you. Satan wants to destroy you. His intent is to destroy you. Resist steadfast in the faith. Same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us. Tonight, have you been called? Have you been called? He has called us. If you're called, if you've answered that calling, and unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered a while. Suffering a while. You know, there's things that we go through. Suffering, you can expand that definition. I think it's okay with the text. Suffer, there's things that we walk through. That we endure. Those different faces of pain. After you have suffered a while, then what happens? He will make you perfect. There's something about someone that has walked through, that it's experienced something. Events in their life. God will make you perfect. There's a perfection. There's when you walk through a loss, there's a different normal that you experience. There's a perfecting that happens within your heart as you respond with faith's response. And establish. You'll become established. Established in what you think, what you believe, who you are. Strengthen you. As we have faith's response, we'll be established. As we have faith's response, we'll be strengthened and settle you. That's our God. God will, he will bring that maturity about in our lives as we pursue him. As we look at the pain in relationships tonight, I'd like to look at, there's several different, two kinds of pain. You see that on your outline. There's two kinds of pain in our life. First of all, the natural pain. You see the diseases, the earthquakes, the tornadoes. There is in diseases, there's heart disease, cancers, diabetes, brain-related illnesses. There's many kinds of diseases. That's a natural pain. Then also earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, droughts, floods. You know, if you've ever gotten insurance on your property or like that, and they call Brother Lynn, they call these like tornadoes. They call them acts of God. I say, wait a minute. That's kind of indirect blame God for these acts. You know, these storms, things that come. It's not what God. That's a result of the fall. That's a result of what happened back in the Garden of Eden, back in when Satan fell, when Adam and Eve chose. These things that we experience. That's not an act of God. I don't like that. But that's natural pain. And we've all experienced that. We've all experienced that, the natural pain in our life in some way with the accidents and the things that happen. Then on the other side, the other kind of pain on the other side of your outline there is moral pain. So natural pain on one side, moral pain on the other. And that moral pain has two different faces. You see there on the outline our personal wrong moral choices that we make. And then there are wrong moral choices that other people make that impact our life. Was it last night or I think it was last night I talked about our little girls touching the stove. That was a wrong moral choice that they make. They impacted their life. But then there's many other kinds of pain. Whether it's the natural pain, that's not something that we've personally done to... Now, diseases, there can be things that we can do to hurt our health, mistreating our bodies. There can be the smoking and drugs and things that we can do that can bring disease on. But natural pain like floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, some of those things, we don't do anything personally to reap those benefits, to reap those consequences, to reap that pain. But there's also wrong moral choices that other people make that impact our lives. The wrong moral choices that they make bad choices and it impacts our life. I think about if there's disrespect to parents or disrespect to a church or to an employer, that's going to have consequences that are there. Drinking and driving, you'll have consequences. Wrong moral choices that we make. I think about Andy Smith. He was the 500th man that was executed in the U.S. since they established the death sentence. Andy Smith was in South Carolina. And we met him when we went there to the prison, to death row. We go back to death row that allow a small group of men to come out. And we could gather in this room and we could have a Bible study together. And we were scheduled to be down there. This was in soon after our son Austin was born. And we were supposed to be there on death row. But just prior to that, we went into the hospital there in Columbia, South Carolina, in intensive care. And I was there, it was before I carried a cell phone with me, and as I was there, they had these pay phones in the waiting area, and they would take calls, and somebody in the families there in the waiting area before, they'd say, Mullet family, or whoever, and so they called me, and I went to the phone, I picked up the phone, and this was Andy Smith. He said, I'm one of the Christian men from back here on death row. And he said, I just wanted to let you know that the Christian men on death row, we know you're in the hospital with your son and we're praying for you. Something just went through me at that time because I was there, my little boy, 8 months old, on the ventilator, on IVs, and you know, just looked like a lifeless little child. Very unfamiliar territory for us. But this man from death row called. And I know from going back to death row, you don't go and just pick up a phone somewhere in death row and make a phone call. No, he had to, through his chaplain, probably through the associate warden and through the warden, had to get permission to make that one phone call. We go back to death row. Every time we go back, I'd put my arms around Andy and say, Andy, thank you for making that call. Every year I would thank him up until the time it was his execution. Andy went on into eternity. But you know, I'm sure that Andy, as a child, when he was growing up, he didn't say, one day, I'm going to take the life of another individual. One day, I'm going to end up on death row. And one day, he didn't have those plans in his mind. No, he began slowly making wrong choices that led him the wrong path. And I can't look and condemn Andy because I'm capable of making wrong choices one at a time. But God got a hold of Andy's life. And he did what he could. He would find obituaries in the newspaper and he'd write encouragement to the family. He did what he could. He had the he was constricted by his invite by being on death row. But he looked for opportunities that he could be in, he could be doing what God asked him to do while he had life. But there was wrong moral choices that Andy made that took him to death row, and he had to pay with his life for wrong choices that he made. There's wrong moral choices that we make that impact our lives. Wrong moral choices that he made that impacted others' lives. You know, there are good choices that we make, and bad, you know, anger, dishonesty, tear down relationships, insensitivity, selfishness, that tears down relationships, that impacts our lives, impacts those around us. Then there's wrong choices that other people make that impact our life. And how can, you might say, well, I remember down in Walmart parking lot, Central Florida this time. We were scheduled to be at a prison that evening. I was back in our trailer arranging our materials to take into the prison that night. And as I was there in the parking lot, I heard this shouting, just obscenity at each other in the parking lot. And I didn't have much time, so I was very much in a hurry there. But it got closer and closer to the trailer, so I just opened the door and I stuck my head out, just in time to see this man, woman, and little 2-3-year-old walk behind my trailer. And they were shouting at each other. There was a Walmart parking attendant that came up when I opened the door, came up and said, "Did you see what just happened?" I said, "No." He said, "The man just hit her across the face." And they got into this argument. He went in to call the police. And as I stepped to the back of the trailer, they were now probably 30 yards away, getting into a vehicle. He got into the driver's side, turned the vehicle on, and he was like revving up the motor. He wanted to go. She was on the other side with the door open. But what broke my heart is that little 2 or 3-year-old was standing about 20 feet away, just crying his heart out. Was he responsible for the choices that this man and woman were making? No. Was he suffering the consequences? He was. There's wrong moral choices that other people make that impact our life. And if we're in abusive situations, we need to take steps to remove ourselves from those situations. We don't stay in abusive situations. We get help. We reach out to someone that can help us to walk through those. Cindy was sharing at a ladies' retreat some time back, and there was this mother, and the pastor's wife was there also, and she came, and Cindy was praying with her. And I was out on the bus, and Cindy called and said, "Can you come and pray with us?" And there was alcohol and abuse that was happening in that home, in that family, children. And with the pastor's wife that was there, because of how abusive it was, we said, we feel that they need to take very active steps in separating that relationship for that time because of the children being in danger. You don't do that unless there is imminent danger that is there. But so you don't stay in abusive situations, you get help if there's abusive situations. But there's pain that other people cause in our lives. And how does faith respond to that pain that is there? You know, there can be some people that irritate you, or they're self-promoting or controlling or manipulative, taking advantage of you, disrespect. In fact, God calls us, we don't continue in that, but we don't allow that person or that group of people to bring us into bondage. We become angry and bitter towards those people. And where I very clearly saw Jesus in action was about 1.5 years ago when we were in a courtroom. And in that courtroom, a pastor friend of mine, it was his son. Actually, let me just back up, it was about 4 years ago, over Thanksgiving, I guess four, Thanksgiving season, David and his wife Linda had their family at their place over Thanksgiving brunch. Their son that had just been married about a year went to leave home, drove to their house. And as he got to their house, they saw an unfamiliar car that was there, some activity that they thought looked suspicious. He went up, dropped his wife off at the neighbor's house, came back to the house. As he came back and drove in, someone stepped out of his house with a gun in his hand. And as Marcus turned to leave, he shot into the back of his vehicle, and one of the bullets lodged in his head. Went on to the hospital several weeks later, unresponsive, and they needed to take life support off. Marcus passed away. Now there's a widow expecting their first child in about 4 months. Now fast forward to, it took several years for it to come to court. But as we sat there in court, David and Linda, Mary Ann, now there's a couple-year-old little boy. And we sat several rows back. And the young man that had the gun, his family, those that were close to him, sat on the other side. The judge was right up in the center of the stage. Her desk was there. The attorneys for David and the family on this side, the attorneys for the young man, and they brought him in. He came in and he sat on the stage on this side. And as these attorneys got up in that harsh and cold courtroom, they gave line upon line why he was guilty, why he should die, why they laid the whole case out. When they got done doing that, they asked David, his wife Linda, Mary Ann, if they had anything to say. And as they came and they took the witness stand, and David talked about his son Marcus and how in the family business he was such an integral part of that, and how that changed things so drastically when he was killed. As he got done talking, he looked over to the young man and he said, "But today, I choose to forgive you." There was just a hush that went through that courtroom. There were tears that began to come as people couldn't believe what they were hearing. Linda shared from a mother's perspective, and at the close of her testimony, she looked at the young man and said, "And today I choose to forgive you." And then the widow with the little boy talked about life without husband, little boy without a daddy. But she said, "Today I choose to forgive you." That harsh, cold courtroom, I say, was turned into a house of worship. As all the attorneys and the ones that were involved in the case, there were many people that were involved in this case. As they heard those words, "I forgive you." There's people that do us wrong, but God asks us to forgive. David came and shared a message at our church that next Sunday. And after the message, he said, "Dwayne," he said, "there's something about..." He said, "I had forgiven him before, but there was something about being in his presence, that we face to face, that I could see him and I could tell him, 'I forgive you.'" He said, "There's a healing that has happened within my heart as I've chose to forgive." That's not the natural response. That's what God calls us to do, to forgive. Faith's response. When we are faced with natural pain or we're faced with moral pain, there's a faith's response on your outline. And whatever we all have, and we can take this from the smallest irritation to the greatest health crisis to the murder to whatever situation in our life that, as in 1 Peter, it talks about after you have suffered a while or there's something that's uncomfortable, irritating in our life, I believe we need to have these faith response. How does faith respond to these situations in our life? Number one, focus our eyes on Jesus. We can become so self-sufficient so easily, so quickly. And for our son, Austin, as he had the heart biopsy and he struggled with rejection through his life, we would go for a heart biopsy every 6 months. That's where they would take they go down in his jugular vein, go down into his heart, take some tissue from inside of his heart. They test it for rejection. If there was rejection, that meant high doses of prednisone steroids. Right away, they would start those that day. They would do 3 days of high-dose steroids, and then they would begin the taper process. And so we'd be in the hospital for, we didn't know how long it would be, if there was rejection. So they would do biopsy, and we wouldn't get the results maybe till the next morning. And so we would be waiting, because our next several weeks, what we were going to do totally hinged on what the results of those biopsies were going to be. And so we'd get up to that biopsy point and we'd say, God, you can give us a normal 6 months. Or what's our next 6 months going to be like? And as we get a clean report, we'd say, thank you, God. And so we lived life in 6 month increments for quite a while. That helped us to keep our eyes on Jesus. We knew that we didn't know what the future held. And so we were trusting God. But now, Alicia, it's every 2 years she has a heart biopsy. And she hasn't had rejection. And so we start to think, this is going pretty good. We probably won't have rejection. But in reality, every day is a gift. We need to live our life with our eyes focused on Jesus. Realize He is the one that gives. He sustains our life. Not being so self-sufficient. Focus our eyes on Jesus. And so what I mean by that is just realize that God, that you're having a God consciousness. I like to, first thing in the morning, the first thing that I think about after I get that alarm clock shut off, I like to say, God, thank you for today. Number of days I say, God, I don't know how I can handle everything that should be accomplished today, but God, I know you won't give me more than what I should take. Help me, direct me to make wise choices today to accomplish what you want me to do today. Having that God consciousness in the morning, throughout the day. A pastor friend said, Dwayne, one thing that I do in the morning is that before I get out of bed, I thank God for 10 things. And so I've tried to incorporate that in my life, but thanking God for 10 things. I'm not asking God for something, but thanking Him for 10 different things in my life. Having a God consciousness, a God focusedness in our life. Number two, ask God if He's revealing a blind spot in your life. I think when we come up face to face with something that's an obstacle, I think it's important that we do ask, God, is there a blind spot? Is there something that I'm not seeing that you're trying to reveal or expose or show me in my life? Is there something that is there? And so, walking through this process, keeping our eyes on Jesus, asking God if there's a blind spot. Now, don't continue to wallow in that, because if God wants us to know about a blind spot or something we should be working on, He'll reveal it to us. God loves you. God wants you to know. And so if there's something that you are facing and you say, God, you're trying to reveal something to me, a wrong choice, a wrong priority, is there something in my life that's not accurate, that's not right, that's a blind spot that I need to grow in, that I need to mature in, ask Him. Allow others to speak into your life. Be listening for that. But don't get stuck there. Don't beat yourself up looking for something, but do ask. I think it's wise. This is faith's response. First, focus on Jesus. Second, ask if there's something God wants to reveal to you in your life. And number three, take the next step. the step that's in front of you. And when I think about that, the next step that's in front of you, surround yourself with people to give you counsel. And if there's something, if there's a health crisis that you're facing, if there's a natural catastrophe you've come through, surround yourself with people. If there's a personal wrong moral choice, a wrong choice that you make, and you find yourself continuing to struggle in that wrong choice, where there's a weakness that you have, surround yourself with people that can help you to grow in that. Ask people to enter into your life to help you in that. And if there's wrong moral choices that other people are making that are impacting your life, ask people to help you there. And then natural pain, seek answers, be resourceful. If there's moral pain, get the help you need. Take responsibility for your wrong choices that you make, if there's personal wrong moral choices that you're making. And then remove yourself. If there's wrong choices that people are making around you, be sure to surround yourself with those from the family of God. Surround yourself with them, but do not let abuse type things continue on. That cannot continue. You need to remove yourself from that. And then guard your heart against fear and bitterness. And fear can be so real. So fear can be so logical. In fact, I'm not going to say any more about that. I'd like if Alicia would come and if she'd share a bit of testimony here this evening. I mentioned earlier that I would have her share. And fear has been something that's been a part of her life that, I better stop. I'm not going to share your testimony for you. You go ahead and share. All right?
All right. Well, I guess my journey started when I was 3 months old and with the transplant. I don't remember it, and I'm thankful for that because I was 3 months old. But since it's a genetic thing, it was my heart was, your heart is supposed to be the size of your fist. And as a 3-month-old, my heart was the size of my mom's fist instead of the small that it should have been. So the organs around my heart had kind of shifted gradually to make room as the heart was getting larger. And so I was actually able to get a heart of a 3-year-old. So I like to say that even though I'm technically 19, I'm 22 at heart. So that's good. But I don't remember the transplant, but I do remember then when I was about 5. And as a result of the medication that I'm on, I have the allergies, chemical sensitivities, things that I struggle with like that. And like Dad said, I'm very blessed. I haven't had rejection, and that's been amazing. Very, very blessed with that. But I do have the sensitivities. So when I was 5, I looked like a burn victim, basically. I was reacting to everything. And we went together, and number of people, I don't even know how many people, the family of God, came together and built a house that everything from sheetrock to paint to just carpeting, no carpeting, to wood and spraying different things. Just, it was a miracle that about 2 weeks after we moved into the house, when I was able to take a bath in pure water without it burning at all. And I remember some of those days. Those were dark times. I don't have near enough time to share all the stories. There's been so many ways that we've seen God working. But the book back there, Big Mountain, Bigger God, has a lot of those stories in it. But then the next few years were very good. I was doing pretty good health-wise and didn't have a whole lot of big struggles. And we were able to travel and sing. And then when I was, when Austin was going into his second heart transplant, his heart failure, that's when I started struggling with fear. Seeing all the things that he went through. And just fear of the future, fear of dying, fear of unknowns. Like Dad said, fear is logical. It made perfect sense. The doctors were saying that Austin did really good to make it out those 12, however many years he had it, 15 years that he had the heart without a second transplant. And I was 12 at the time, and in a couple of years, this is something I'll have to go through too. But I was so thankful for my parents, they saw that and were able to see it when it was a blind spot for me. But then when that came, and in 24 hours, it was so fast, and Austin died after the second transplant when we thought things were going fine. We didn't think it was that big of a deal, that what he was struggling with, but it happened so fast, and the doctors didn't see it. And that faith that I had, misplaced faith in the doctors, was totally shattered, and my faith in God was even worse. And it was just a really difficult time because, yeah, fear makes perfect sense. And but something I've learned is fear is not the opposite of faith. So often we think that fear and faith is completely opposite, but it's not. Fear, you're always believing in something. And fear is believing in the wrong thing. It's not believing in God. It's not believing in His sovereignty. And so I was able to go through that valley and come out. And I wouldn't say that I'm over that, because it's a constant choice. It's a constant, I can overcome it, but you have to keep choosing, keep believing. And so I'm thankful tonight that even though God doesn't necessarily choose to take away those things, He doesn't make everything go away. He still is there to be with us and has people that encourage us. And it's something I'm struggling with, some things again, skin-wise and things, and something I've been able to know, just be reminded of again, God is there. And that verse that I was saying, He will strengthen, establish, and settle you. And I'm so thankful for God tonight, that for you all as well, whatever it is, it might not be fear necessarily, but whatever it is, that God is there. And whenever God comes into anything, any circumstance, He completely changes it and takes out the logical part. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Alicia. Thank you. Fear can be so logical, and fear is faith in the enemy and not trusting in God. Guard your heart from that fear, and guard your heart from bitterness. Saturate your mind with God's word. I'd like to just look just a bit at bitterness. Bitterness will destroy us. Bitterness looks like, I have the steps that it takes. It starts with a little bit of unforgiveness. Bitterness is like us drinking a little bit of poison, expecting the other person to die. It starts with unforgiveness. It says, I can't forgive. This can be towards an individual, towards a group of people, towards an employer. It says, I can't forgive. I can't forgive turns to resentment. That's another step down. We're playing in our minds. I don't like him. That wasn't fair. Resentment is like we start playing that tape in our mind, that movie in our mind, thinking about that individual. Next, it moves to retaliation. And it says, getting even. If I have the opportunity, I will. I'll do this. If I would have the opportunity against that person, I would do that. Retaliation then turns to anger and wrath, where there can be visible words or visible actions that are shown towards that other person. These are all just steps down. Turns to hatred, despising, holding in contempt. And then hatred, it turns to violence, uncontrolled rage, physical, emotional abuse, where there is just that, it's inside of us, that rage that is there. And it may be just emotional, maybe just be some words that we say, but it's violence. And violence, unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger, wrath, hatred, violence, and finally the murder. You say, wait a minute, Dwayne. You were talking about death row. You visited death row, but you forgot. You're not in death row now. No, we're not. But you know what Jesus said? He said, if you hate your brother, what does it mean to hate your brother? If you cut off your spirit to another person, we need to look around us. We need to say, in my family or in my church, or at my work, have I cut off my spirit to another individual? If you have, then you've allowed bitterness in your heart. You've allowed that those stair steps to happen. Pain in relationships looks like talking to them, working out the situation, not cutting off your spirit. If you've cut off your spirit, it's like you've murdered them in your heart. Someone gave me this envelope or this card. I think Brianna has it on PowerPoint about forgiveness. When I forgive others, I set the prisoner free. And then it says, only to find out that that prisoner was me. Go back to the other one, slide again, Brianna, just a bit. There's cell block. When I forgive others, I set the prisoner free. And we think when we forgive someone else, we're setting them free. But no, only to find out that that prisoner was me. When you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against any, that your Father also who is heaven may forgive you your trespasses. When we forgive someone, when David and Linda and Marianne, when they forgave that young man that was the murderer, they didn't let him go, they released themselves. And they could begin to heal and to be able to move forward. Now, they don't stay in the situation, allow that to continue to hurt them. They move on, they move forward. I think about Joseph. Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Joseph saw from an eternal perspective. That's faith's response. We see from an eternal perspective. We realize that there is evil, there's pain in this world. Now, wrong moral choices that we make, we have responsibility to take care of that. But wrong moral choices that other people make, and that natural, those pain of disease and earthquakes and tornadoes, those things that enter our life, that's the big picture. That happens because there's sin in this world. And the eternal perspective is we choose to trust in God. We choose to forgive. We choose to serve a God that is in control of all things, that is sovereign. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And the concluding thought here that I'd like to share with you as we close here this evening. Think with me. You may be sitting here, you may say, "I haven't experienced that pain and that loss. God has blessed me tremendously." As we close tonight, I'd like you to think about, if you are sitting here and you're tremendously blessed, or if you're sitting here and you're walking in a storm or difficulty, or maybe you have both going on at one time, God's purpose for allowing that blessing in your life may be the same as allowing that difficulty in your life. The reason that God allows blessings in our life, I believe, is that so God's kingdom can be advanced. The reason that you're blessed is so that God's kingdom can be advanced. You know, if you're blessed in relationships, those relationships are so that God's kingdom can be advanced. It's not about you. If you're blessed with position of some kind, if you're blessed with as an employer or employee, if you're blessed with finances, the reason that God blesses you, first of all, I believe, is so that God's kingdom can be advanced. And I believe the very same is true about difficulties that come our way. The reason that God allows those difficulties to come our way is so that God's kingdom can be advanced. I think about the sitting in that hospital room when Alicia was, she was quite young, probably 4 or 5 years old. And we had, the doctors had just made their rounds. They had discussed about her plan for the next 24 hours. Cardiologist came in and sat down on the bed, told us the plan, and then she just sat there. She wanted to talk just a bit. And she said, "I want you to know what the doctors in the round, one of the doctors said as he was making rounds." As that doctor observed people coming in and ministering to our family, coming in and praying with us, coming in and just being with us for a season, he said, "It almost makes you want to become a Mennonite." He wasn't talking about denomination. He was talking about Jesus in action in the lives of those people that were coming and ministering to us. But I believe through that difficult hospital experience, God wanted to advance His kingdom. We don't know what other conversations. We learned about one. But there's nurses, there's doctors, there's phlebotomists, there's all kinds of specialists, there's all kinds of interaction when you're in a hospital. And so through a difficult circumstance, through, guess what? When David Kaufman looked at him and said, I choose to forgive you, there were probably 150 people in that courtroom that at that moment, they got a new picture of God, of Jesus. Yes, it cost them the death of a son, of a husband. But as they had faith response, if they would have just said nothing, or if they had become bitter, that would have limited the potential of what God had in their lives. But they said, I choose to forgive. God's kingdom was advanced. The second thing I believe through a blessing or through a difficulty is that God can receive glory. The reason that you're blessed is not about who you are, but it's about God receiving glory. God wants to receive glory through your blessings. When you have healthy relationships with others, when you have, when financially you're able to share with those that are needy, those that have need, God receives glory. You do that in Jesus' name. It's not about them knowing who I am. No, it's about God's kingdom being, God receives glory. When you go through a difficult time, and speaking of hospital and Alicia, when she was younger, lab work was just the terriblest thing. She was scared, she was afraid of that little needle. As a 3-4-year-old, she got daddy praying when we were there. Or she was quoting scripture. And a couple years ago, the nurse that has followed her for probably 12, 13 years, she said, you know, we would try to be brave when you came in, because she was a hard stick, and they would work so hard to try to get labs. And there was one nurse that did the best at it, and she didn't know that she could get it every time, but she would try her best. But she'd say, when you'd come in, we'd have to poke you 3-4 times, because we had to get the lab level, the blood level, the med level. And they'd go in, and then they'd go this way and that way. And as they did that, they knew how tough it was for her. She said, when you were there, she said, we were brave. But she said, as soon as you'd leave the room, we cried. Because the verses that you'd quote, the faith you demonstrated, even though you had to have that done every 3 months, somehow, God receives glory as we embrace what's before us. The third thing I believe that's very critical through blessing and through difficulty is that our relationship, and this would be illustrative of Alicia's when she would want to quote a verse, that our relationship with God can be demonstrated. Remember a doctor saying, does it make a difference how many people pray when you're in a difficult situation? He was studying some other religions and Catholic background, and we've been able to be in touch with him, cardiologist from our hometown. Been able to be in touch with him, and he's now plugged into a church, and his family's going to church. What a blessing. But that our relationship with God can be demonstrated through difficult times. It doesn't mean that you don't cry and that you don't hurt and you don't express that. Yes, we express that. We know how what it's like to have tears in hospital rooms and before doctors or nurses or the hardest permission that I've ever signed as a parent was when they brought me the paperwork that I needed to sign to remove life support. I've signed many, many papers giving permission to do treatment. But as I signed that paper, the hardest signature I've ever put down in my life. And so there's times when you walk through, cry through, struggle through situations in your life. But as we still trust God through those times, I believe our relationship with Him is demonstrated. You know, I know what it's like. I got to know what it was to look for in the intensive care unit when someone was getting close to the end, when they weren't going to live. I noticed how security would be just around the corner. And as there would become several security people that would be there and present, because the hospital didn't know how the family was going to respond to what was just ahead of them. Those in those circumstances, they realize that, you know, depending what's on the inside, who we are as individuals, will come out, and it can be pretty ugly. Times of loss. But also when we are tremendously blessed, that our relationship with God can be demonstrated. When we're blessed with something that we can say, it's because of God. Because we really realize that apart from on our own, we'd be ugly, self-focused, self-centered. But as we choose to trust God through the blessings, through the difficulties, then God wants to do the miraculous. As we close this evening, I like us to think about, each of us to think about, in your life, what kind of pain have you faced? Has it been natural pain of health or tornadoes or natural catastrophes or accidents or auto-related or job-related? Or has it been moral pain? And if it's moral pain, is it personal wrong moral choices, or is it wrong moral choices that other people are making that's impacting your life? What are you walking in today? And then what has been your response? Especially as we looked at those stair steps down through where there was the starting with a little bit of unforgiveness and then moving to resentment, retaliation, anger, wrath, hatred, violence, murder. Have you allowed a painful relationship? Have you allowed that to control your life where you're the prisoner and you've cut off your spirit to another individual? As you look around your life, pain takes many faces. Faith's response is keeping our eyes on Jesus, asking about that blind spot, taking the next step that's in front of us, but guarding our hearts from fear or bitterness. And then the final one on your outline is allowing God to enlarge your focus. I didn't mention that before we got to the end, but allowing God to enlarge your focus. What is your response to those pain issues that have been in your life, that are in your life? Or what has been your response to those blessings that have been in your life? Let's all stand together as we close. And as I mentioned, I believe that it's important that we, as we look at our faith walk, as you identify what is your faith walk, that we look at God's Word, we look at our lives, we say, does it match? Does it line up with God's Word? And if, as God speaks to us, that we say yes to what God is speaking to us about, that's the Holy Spirit within our conscience speaking to us. And as we close this evening, I would again like to give you opportunity, if there's something that God's speaking to you about. I'm not going to give a long time because I don't believe it's something about, it's not about an emotional appeal. It's about within your spirit, you knowing what God's speaking to you about and just taking a step, just honoring God. That's faith's response. So think about in your life, face challenges. How have you responded to that? Have you surrendered like Jesus did on the cross? Or have you become angry or fearful, as Alicia talked about, or bitter in your life? what has been your response. Father, I thank you for this evening. God, I thank you for your word. Father, that says after we have suffered or endured a while, that you will make us perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us as we have faith's response to those situations in our life. God, I pray that as we take just a moment to reflect here this evening, that you, through your Holy Spirit, will speak into our hearts. As our heads are bowed here this evening,